Good morning, Peace Church, and welcome to worship. Thank you to everyone who checked in and joined us last week for worship. If you are worshiping with us today, click on the link in the description below to check in. If you found us on Facebook this morning, the check-in link is in the comments. During this time, our offerings will be collected in two ways. If you are still able, you can continue to send in any contributions through the mail or give electronically by visiting www.peacechurch.org/give. If you know of someone that doesn't have access to a computer, we encourage you to call them and worship with them over the phone. We want to make sure that everyone is still connected during this time when we are urged to stay apart. Lastly, if we can be of any assistance during this time, please don't hesitate to contact the church office. From all of us here at Peace, thank you for joining us today. Now let's begin worship with the singing of our opening hymn.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. In the darkness of the world around us, and amid our own blindness to His will and ways, God calls us to confess our sins. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. We take just a few moments now to reflect on God's word in our lives this week. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Forgive me all my sins, and grant me the power of your Holy Spirit, that I may amend my sinful life. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us, and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God, and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring me out of trouble. In your unfailing love, silence my enemies. Destroy all my foes, for I am your servant. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The gospel lesson for this morning comes from the book of Luke in chapter 22 and chapter 23. The men who were guarding Jesus began mocking him and beating him. They blindfolded him and demanded, "Prophesy, who hit you?" And they said many other insulting things to him. At daybreak, the council of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and the teachers of the law, met together. And Jesus was led before them. "If you are the Messiah," they said, "tell us." Jesus answered, "If I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I asked you, you would not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God." They all asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He replied, "You say that I am." Then they said, "Why do we need any more testimony? We have heard it from his own lips." Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be a Messiah, a king." So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and to the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted, "He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased. because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform a sign of some sort. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. That day Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and he said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to a rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him." But the whole crowd shouted, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us!" Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time he spoke to them, "Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him." But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus into their will. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, and from God our Father. Amen. Wow, what a crazy last 2 weeks it has been. The world has completely changed, in essence, overnight from the life that we had enjoyed even just a month ago. I don't know what it's been like for you. However, for some of you, you're still doing your daily routine as well as you can. I want to thank all of you who are our medical professionals, our grocery store workers, our sanitation workers, the transportation folks, all the folks that are making sure that our society continues while the rest of us, for the most part, are asked to stay at home. I want to thank all of you families that are finding creative ways to be together. I believe that for most of us, this is a change from the way that things had operated in the past. We definitely loved and cared for each other, but the pace of life, school, and work tended to keep us separated for sometimes the majority of the day. And now we're adjusting to having everyone around all the time. There are some great resources out there for things to do to creatively help you enjoy this time. If you're having trouble, please reach out. We want to help you however we can for you and your family right now. I know this is an incredible time. One of the interesting things in terms of our church at Peace here today is that today is Confirmation Day. Well, at least it was supposed to be Confirmation Day. We have a number of young men and women that are excited to finish their journey and to have their first communion today. We're working on a plan to make sure that we celebrate each one of you and your journeys fully when we're able to come back together. I want to tell each of you students how proud of you I am and proud of your journeys and the time that I've been able to spend with you this year. For our Sunday series during Lent, we're focusing on the trial of Jesus today. Last week, Pastor Russ talked about Peter in the courtyard on trial for his faith. In the end, he comes up short. 3 times he denied knowing Jesus. We're moving from the courtyard into the courtroom today. When you think about trials, what comes to mind? Maybe it's still the image of O.J. Simpson and his trial. Maybe it's the image of Amber Geiger and the beautiful offer of forgiveness to her. We see the courtroom process as something that is fair and just, where everyone has the opportunity to present their case for their innocence. This is a bit different than the history we have found recorded by Luke. You see, the trial starts with Jesus blindfolded and beaten by his guards. Justice has already turned a blind eye. The guards taunt Jesus to prophesy. Are they still hoping for some nugget of truth and hope? I don't think so. They're just mocking him. The first trial that Jesus encounters is the one with the Sanhedrin. Now that's the ruling council, the religious leaders for the people of Israel during Jesus' time. These were the leaders that were the experts of the Old Testament and how it applied to the people and their lives. As you heard their questioning, was there any room for Jesus to speak? To bring the truth to them? Or had they already heard enough? Had they already come to the verdict before bringing him into that room? As we look to the next 2 trials, we get some insight from Luke about relationships. Pilate and Herod were the ruling leaders of this area for the Roman people. They were the governors, and they didn't get along one bit. In fact, they were even enemies. Although Luke will show us that these 3 trials bring the two together in a way that caused their role as enemies to melt away into friendship. As we think about their relationship, we see the anger, the hatred, and the scorn of the chief priests on display at every one of the 3 trials. The drama in these 3 courtrooms is off the charts. It would probably make for a great trial to see on court TV, or maybe on one of the major news stations, as the reporters are constantly checking in to see that the drama factor and to see how it will connect with the viewers, with us. I don't know that that is the purpose for Luke to keep the drama in view in our text. When you look out the window to watch your kids playing in the background, maybe it's to watch the birds flying in the air, do you tend to see your reflection in the window instead? Do you continue to watch the kids playing? Or maybe do you take a couple moments to reflect on the image that you see? Is it an image of a mom or a dad that is dressed up, getting ready to head back out to work somewhere else? Going somewhere else? The image of a mom or a dad that hasn't been the parent that you hope to be, that you dream to be. While you look, the image might fade a little. As you see your children playing in the backyard, running around, playing tag, playing catch, and they're okay. They don't see the inside conflict where you're checking on yourself. I believe this is a view into the trials that gives us a similar opportunity today to have a view into ourselves. We have a view into the humanity that is on display. We see two vastly different responses between the folks that are performing the trials and that of Jesus himself. As we move into the second trial with Pilate, he is bombarded by the anger and the insistence of the chief priests. They want Jesus to be found guilty. They don't care about the process of justice. Pilate comes to a reasonable conclusion. He says, "I don't see the basis for bringing charges against this man." There it is. He's innocent. Jesus should be free. He should walk away. However, Pilate instead follows the lead of the people. He sends Jesus on to Herod, hoping that someone else will be able to do something about this problem that has come up. And so we move on to our third trial, the trial with Herod. And we see Jesus again silent. We see the anger of the religious leaders, but we don't see a guilty verdict. We have a view into the humanity of the leaders on display. The religious leaders are out to put Jesus to the ultimate test. Herod, much like Pilate, decides to punt. He decides to pass Jesus on as he doesn't have the decisive guilty verdict that the religious leaders are looking for. Jesus is once again mocked, yet Jesus stays faithful. He stays following the will of the Father. They go back to Pilate. The friendship has now been started between Herod and Pilate. Pilate comes back to the religious leaders to remind them of the innocent verdict. This man doesn't need to be held any longer. Pilate hands out his punishment, that he should be beaten and then released. The wheels of justice were trying to work, but still Jesus in the courtroom drama is going to be beaten without doing anything. But the will of the people hasn't changed. They are still out for Jesus' blood. They come together in the courtyard of the governor's palace to ask for Barabbas and then for Jesus. Those haunting words, "Crucify him." You see, the trial continues to give us that view into the will of the people that is on display. It gives us a chance to see the will of a fallen world that we cry out, "Crucify him." It gives us a chance to look into our will when we see the sin that we have. How often do we confess the truth of God as we come to worship, like you are this morning? We confess our sins. We confess the forgiveness that God offers us. And we confess that we are going to live Christ-like lives. then as we leave worship and enter the rest of our week, are we able to keep the love of God in the front of our lives? Do we have a tendency to put ourselves and our needs above our families, our neighbors, and our communities? It's easy to confess the desire to love our neighbor in church, to be filled with good thoughts and hope from the gospel. But when it comes to practice, it can be hard. And as we turn away from God's will and into our will, serving ourselves, that is sin. But the good news is the trial isn't the end of the story. It's just one of the pieces of the story of God's eternal will. God wants to enter into your story this morning to transform you. God had the plan of the trial in place from the beginning because God wanted to bring forgiveness into our story. He wanted to bring resurrection into our vocabulary and our lives. So Pilate does what the people have willed. He releases Barabbas, and he sends Jesus to be crucified. This is all part of God's will, his eternal will. It's all part of the plan. We take a moment to stand alongside John as we confess from John 1:29. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We see the Lamb who has done it for us. The Lamb who has taken away all of the times where your will has gone away from where God's eternal will is. The Lamb who every day wants to remind you, I love you. I forgive you. I died for you. I have risen from the grave for you. I bring you hope today, but also for the tomorrow that will never end. So how can we live today serving God, serving our neighbors? Take a moment today and call or video chat with a friend, with a loved one. Remind them that they're not alone. Spend some good time with your family today. Instead of binge watching that show, turn the TV off. Break out a game or some cards. Have a great family discussion. Ask your neighbors how they're doing. And if there's any way that you can pray for them or help them, especially for our elderly folks, call them and talk to them. They need to know that we care about them. So throughout this time, I've been doing a daily memory verse. You're welcome to come to my Facebook page and see it. But I'd like to challenge you with one this morning. This one is from John chapter 14, verse 27. And it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. There are a lot of things that want to steal your peace right now. Trust in Jesus. Know that he's got you. Use this verse today and this week to help when those hard moments come to bring you some comfort and some peace. Amen. We continue as we confess our faith boldly with the saints who have gone before us and those who will come behind us. as we say together the words in the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Now we take just a few moments to gather our offerings. If you look on the screen right now, there should be a couple of different options to send your offerings in. These offerings are vital to continue to help support peace during this time. We can either have you send by mail your offering in to the office, or if you're able to, by the electronic means, will get right to us as well. Thank you for all of your support. We now continue as we pray together the prayers of the church. In our prayers this morning, we remember all those who are affected by the coronavirus. Let us pray. Good and gracious Father, I humbly come to you today on behalf of our community, on behalf of our world. Lord, please be with this world and this coronavirus illness. Lord, help us to do the things that we need to do to help this disease to run its course as quickly as possible. Bring healing to those who are sick. Bring comfort to those who are grieving. Lord, thank you especially for all those first responders that are out there to take care of those who are sick. Lord, continue to keep them healthy. Continue to give them hope and encouragement through each of the days that they work. Lord, to keep their families safe as they come home. Lord, we pray for those who are experiencing unemployment as a result of this challenge, that you would continue to provide for them. Lord, you would help them to find new means of bringing income in during this difficult time. Lord, again, I pray that you would just make this time pass over quickly so that everyone can get back to being in the roles that they're accustomed to. Lord, we pray for all those who are in the grocery store business right now too, that you continue to support them, encourage them. Lord, all those who are taking care of us right now, that are having to be on the front lines and going to work every single day to provide for our needs, that you would keep them safe and healthy, that you'd be with their families. Lord, we just thank you for all the bonuses and the benefits that you give us during this time. We thank you for the family time that you provided. Lord, we ask you to help all those families that need additional resources right now, that aren't comfortable being together as much as they are right now, that you'd help them to find ways to be together, to find ways to have a little bit of separation even in the midst of their homes. Lord, so that this time can be a time where we grow as Christians in our journey of faith and as we grow together as families. Lord, we give thanks for the blessing of beautiful weather this week. Lord, we ask you just to continue to keep the weather well for those who are able to go out and walk and get the exercise and the sunshine that they need. Lord, that you would just continue to provide that. But Lord, our most fervent prayer is, please let this coronavirus be healed. Please be with all the teams that are working to find cures, that are to find treatments, to even find a vaccine, so that less people can be affected in the future. All these things we bring to you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As a family, we gather together around our screens, knowing that we're united with the other folks that are watching with us and the saints as we pray the prayer that our Lord Jesus Christ taught to us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And as you go out this week, as you turn off your screen and get back into the normal things of life, may God go with you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his favor upon you and give you his peace. Amen.